Red State Talk Radio.
Here are Obama and the Democrats who mocked the Bush administration for unilateral intervention in Iraq, where he had a coalition of almost 50 countries, and he can't get 1.5. So he had to have the Congress. That's the reason he did that switch in the end. He knew how alone he was and how he needed to cover. This is a cynical exercise in political cover, and the language he offered McCain that everybody approved is simply language. It will have no effect on the policy, and I think it's a sop that is not worth the words, the ink it's written with.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Doc White here, your host of the Conservative Underground. Proud to be humble. Humble in all ways and proud of it. Common man, common sense. Taking on all of the issues of the day in an unapologetic, true conservative approach. Proud Reagan conservative, charter member of the great silent majority. Fighting against the loony left in their efforts to move this republic closer to a Euro-style socialistic state. It's a republic if we can keep it, and that's exactly what I'm fighting for. Lots to talk about today on the broadcast. Stay tuned. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Long time no talk. Thank you all for being here. Joined in this endeavor here, the Conservative Underground, with my Chief of Staff, Brett Myers, Deputy Chief of Staff, Mitch Wainwright, and broadcasting live from beautiful Broadcast Park here in the posh Studio A, winding down the warm, decent weather of summer and entering into the Indian summer, if we're even allowed to call it that. Fall is right around the corner, which is also another great time of year for those of you who like Great Lakes Christmas Ale. Inching ever closer, several weeks away though, from the unveiling of the new 2013 version of Great Lakes Christmas Ale, the best, no doubt about it, the best beer on tap. We have some big news, obviously, and going on today with this naval yard shooting in Washington, D.C. Suspect has been identified. I'll give you a few thoughts on that particular issue as we move forward. We're going to have to wait and find out motive, but it's interesting what's come out already. Still, this Obama, Syria, Putin, John McCain, shall we strike, shall we not strike, is certainly in the news and a valid topic. We'll get to that. But David Letterman, I thought, summed it up very nicely on his broadcast about a week ago after all this red line BS came through. And, you know, I don't know if it's the media or the Hollywood elite are turning on Barack Obama. I doubt that'll ever happen, but it's interesting, it's encouraging, it's refreshing, I guess, to hear this take from David Letterman.
Red State Talk Radio.
Here are Obama.
Whoops, that is, that's not the right button. Let's try this one more time.
Well, it looks like we're getting ready to teach Syria a lesson, and President Obama is now saying that he never used the term red line. Remember when he was talking about, we find out that they used chemical weapons in Syria, that would be crossing a red line, and if they crossed that red line, by God, we had to go in there and get them. If they crossed the red line, that would be a violation of the red line, and he drew a red line.
All about red line.
Had a red line everywhere. Red line. Well, now the president is saying he never used the term red line. He's saying that the world used the term red line. So it's taken him 5 years, but finally the guy has learned how to blow.
What he's saying there, the guy has finally learned how to bullshit, and I think he's learned how to do that well before he got to Washington, D.C. That's usually part of the master's program to become a community organizer, something that he perfected some time ago. But it is refreshing to hear that from David Letterman. The president looked incredibly stupid. Just to be plain and frank with all of you out there, the president just looked flat out stupid after this whole Syrian thing came through. And I know he thinks it's a victory, And frankly, that's the sad part about it. All right, folks, let's get the broadcast started here. We'll talk a little bit more about that Syrian topic and where we're at now. But first, this is obviously more than just the big three. It's the big one, two, and three. So earlier today on about 8:20, 8:30 in the morning, a gunman now identified as Aaron Alexis of Fort Worth, Texas, an African-American male in his mid-30s, has been identified as the shooter in the Naval Yard shootings in Washington, D.C. today. The breaking news about that is that the suspect had security clearance to be where he was at. Why is that significant? Well, I'm not sure how many of you out there have been to Washington, D.C. or have been in that area where the Naval Yard is. The Naval Yard is a very long-standing naval base. I'm being told the first naval base of the United States, and it has it's home to some pretty heavy players. And there's obviously some security that will be around a building like that and a compound like that. So you have to ask yourself, you know, being in the nation's capital, it's very close to the Capitol building. As a matter of fact, it's on that side of the city. How could somebody get in here and shoot up all these folks? Well, it appears that the suspect, Aaron Alexis, the shooter identified, had security clearance, and that he was, I guess, another independent contractor with, Hewlett Packard or something? I shouldn't say the name. I'm thinking off the top of my head here. I'm sure we'll get to it. There's several things kind of floating around out there about this, but a tragic incident. 13 people have lost their lives as a result of this crazed lunatic. And, you know, before we go any further, it's important to recognize that, again, you know, the whatever firearms this individual used, the firearms didn't kill these individuals. Law-abiding citizens didn't kill these folks at the Naval Yard in Washington, D.C., didn't injure anybody either. An individual that, for whatever his motive, maybe he lost his job, maybe he's disgruntled on something else, maybe he's nutty, maybe, if we're allowed to say this, there is some sort of terrorist link to this attack. You know, we don't know. That's the point at this point in time. But what we do know is an individual sort of, you know, I don't even know if you could say he snapped, but something terrible happened. And law-abiding people don't do this. Sane individuals don't do this. And as the story comes out, as it did with the Boston bombing suspects a few months back, we're going to find out just exactly who this individual is or was. He was killed in a firefight with law enforcement. And we're going to learn a little bit more about our culture and about our society. There's reports now that the gunman claimed to have post-traumatic stress disorder after rescuing victims on 9/11. So maybe he was on some meds. We don't know. He did have, as I mentioned, secret clearance. Digging into this individual's background, he was arrested for shooting a bullet into a neighbor's home in Texas. It's important to note that the individual here is from Brooklyn, New York City, and his military career as a member of the Navy led him around the world and around the country, and just happened to be living in Texas. I know I saw some tweets out there about when the name came out and the location or where he was from, came out, a lot of people just immediately assumed that this was some dumb, you know, redneck from Texas, and they finally got their conservative to go fly off the handle. Well, you know, so far that hasn't lined up too well. By all accounts, it's reported that this individual, Aaron Alexis, was a Buddhist, attended a Buddhist temple at least. All of the people who were killed and wounded in this attack were civilians. They were not military personnel. And it should be noted right there that we've now had in 4 years two shootings on military bases in the United States. Fort Hood, Texas, which is still being called an act of workplace violence by President Obama, when clearly Nader Assad made it perfectly clear at the time he was killing people, and one a pregnant woman, and at his trial, that he was all jihaded up. But that doesn't get reported in the media. We're not allowed to talk about that sort of stuff. But this is the second, and now I guess by all accounts 25 people have been killed in 4 years on U.S. military bases. Civilians and soldiers. And whether or not this is a terrorist incident like Fort Hood, even though the Obama administration doesn't want to call it that. And I tell you, you know, I was talking to somebody at work today. The biggest crime in all of that isn't the fact that Obama's being ignorant to the terrorist threats in this country, cells in this country, and they are here trying to make sure he doesn't look bad, especially leading up to a re-election. But that the folks who were killed, the families, the surviving members of the individuals' families, the soldiers who were killed in Fort Hood, because they're not labeling this a terrorist attack, they're not being afforded certain benefits. People who were injured in this attack are not being awarded medals that they otherwise would be entitled to if this was legitimately labeled what it was, and that's a terrorist attack. But also of note, again, two military bases attacked in this country, 25 people killed, and we don't know the reasoning behind this other one in Washington, D.C. But in 1993, Bill Clinton, one of his first acts while in office, disarmed non-military police inside of military bases in this country. So we've had, since the successful Clinton presidency, a terrorist attack in 9/11, largely in part due on President Clinton ignoring global international terrorism for the last few years he was in office, because he was trying to defend himself from sexual harassment cases and lying under oath and being impeached, and treated these folks with kid gloves, had a chance to get bin Laden and didn't. Some of the policies that his Justice Department, Jamie Gorelick, specifically instituted was a separation between the FBI and the CIA. They called it that wall of separation. It's in the 9/11 Commission report. That's Clinton administration policy. And now here we are again, Clinton administration policy. Nobody can carry guns on a military base but military police. 25 people in 4 years have been killed because they haven't been able to defend themselves or have an opportunity to defend themselves. CBS and NBC got it wrong again, as it as it turns out. They identified the shooter as a naval officer. They had to go and retract that. I saw a cute tweet out there today that the professional news media should let Twitter be handled by the professionals. That's those of us bloggers and podcasters and such. We know how to kind of ferret through the spam and the chatter online on Twitter and social media. And the experts, the so-called journalists out there, have no idea and can't handle it, but that's, I guess, to be expected. The other question that was talked about briefly on Fox News with Brett Baer tonight, when will there or will there be calls from many politicians, the smart politicians who know so much better than you and I in Washington, D.C., over a reinvigorated debate on gun control laws? Now, you know the old saying, the Rahm Emanuel approach, the Barack Obama approach, and that's not to let any good crisis go to waste. We saw that the disgusting behavior of the Obama administration following the Newtown, Connecticut school shootings, where they politicized the shootings out there of children in order to usurp our Second Amendment rights in this country, as if a bunch of gun-toting NRA life members wearing their American flag t-shirts walked into a school and shot it up and killed dozens of kids, or a number of children. The number escapes me right now. Well, we know that it was, you know, some mentally deranged lunatic. But Dianne Feinstein, never to let a good crisis go to waste, is now calling for new gun control laws, trying to stir that debate up. And you even heard it in the president's remarks, which I'll get at here, after this tragedy, where he said, here we are again. I apologize for not having the audio. That was up to my chief of staff who dropped the ball again, which is, no big shocker. But Barack Obama even said it, the president of the United States, such as he is, even said, here we are again, talking about another mass shooting in the country. And you can just hear the politics and the politicization that's dripping behind those words. And I know that Barack Obama feels that because we have guns available to citizens in this country, law-abiding citizens, that this is what's causing these mass shootings. Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that there are terrorist cells in this country. Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that there are some mentally ill people in this country, and that as a result there are some folks who are not very responsible parenting or guardians, and that there are just flat-out criminals that are going to get guns, regardless if you make them totally illegal. And I should note, as I tweeted out on my Twitter account, and you can follow it at Doc Wythe, DocWythe on Twitter, as I tweeted it out earlier today, that Washington, D.C. has the toughest gun laws. And just recently, cops were told to arrest tourists if they found empty clips on them. Now, I don't know what a tourist would be if having empty clips, but that was the report, is that if you were found with any sort of gun paraphernalia, basically, you were going to be arrested. And this is a city with the toughest gun laws. So, you know, this will not obviously have the same sort of emotional appeal as a school shooting, but it certainly is going to be a debate that we're going to have to perhaps endure at some level to protect our Second Amendment rights again, because the liberals are not going to give up. They truly and honestly believe we need to have full gun registration in this country, or restriction of the kinds of guns we can get. Now, there are some reports that this shooter had a shotgun and a pistol, and maybe an AR-15. I don't know if that's been confirmed yet or not. But the shotgun and the pistol are supposedly, there's no problems with those. But we do have to be, as I say, ever mindful of the fact that a liberal will let no crisis go to waste, and we can fully expect there to be some assault or attempted assault on our Second Amendment freedoms in this country. And personally, for me, you know, I just wonder if some of these folks on this military base, had they been allowed to carry guns, in contrast to the Clinton administration's policy, if they wouldn't have been able to defend themselves a little quicker. I don't know, or at least had the option to defend themselves. Unfortunately, though, that is the society that we live in right now, and we've got a whole host of other problems that we need to worry about, as opposed to who's got guns. Culture's a lot to do with it. We'll
be
right back.
If a fire breaks out in your home while you're asleep, how will you know? Smoke and heat build quickly, making every second count. A working smoke alarm can alert you to the danger and make the difference between life and death. Install and maintain a smoke alarm on every level of your home. Replace the battery every year. This message is brought to you by the United States Fire Administration, your local fire department, and this radio station.
This is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Power outages and flooding can cause electrical hazards. Never touch a down power line or anything in contact with one. If a power line falls on your car, remain inside, unless the car catches fire or authorities tell you to get out. Do not touch a person who has been electrocuted without making sure the person is no longer in contact with the electrical source. To learn more, call CDC at 800-CDC-INFO.
Sometimes, when you return from a deployment, you bring back more than you can carry on your own. You may come back to more than you think you can handle. Whether you're feeling depressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, Military Pathways can help lighten your load. Through our anonymous online self-assessment, Military Pathways can help you get a clearer picture of how you're feeling and whether you could benefit by talking to a healthcare professional. As you transition from the front lines to the home front, help can be a click away. Visit steptohealing.org for your free anonymous online screening. Military Pathways. Take the first step to healing.
Doc White here. You're listening to the Conservative Underground. You email me at conservativeunderground1776@gmail.com. You know, the Obama administration is making some progress, I guess you could say. Last year when Benghazi went down, they instantly blamed a YouTube video. Didn't even blame Pinterest this year. We'll be back.
The mall sure is busy today. Okay, what's on my list? Birthday present for Beth, stop at the electronics store, and then grab a quick bite. Did that guy leave his shopping bag? Looks like there's a package inside, covered in duct tape. Did he leave it on purpose? That can't be right.
Excuse me, security? I just noticed that there's a shopping...
We all play a role in keeping our communities safe. If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities. If you see something, say something is used with permission by the New York MTA.
This is Sheriff Cupid B. Justice of Gatsu.
Texas?
You know, of course, that you're out of your jurisdiction. I suggest that you let my department handle the situation.
That's very confident. But I'm in a high-speed pursuit. Don't you hear good?
I hear perfectly. The fact that you are a sheriff is not germane to the situation.
The goddamn Germans got nothing to do with it.
What do you say?
Shut up one shit at a time.
All right.
You're listening to the Conservative Underground. We'll be back with more after this.
Hey, Sam. Hey, back from the Denise Decathlon, huh? Got another gold medal in the broad jump?
Hey, you got a big mouth, Clayton.
Hey, happens to be right, you know. Yeah, it's a genetic quirk in the Clavin family that we all have two extra teeth. It, you see, that's the only way that we can prove that we are the rightful heirs to the Russian throne.
Hello in there, Cliff. Tell me, what color is the sky in your world?
Mr. Kruger, two C's, two D's, and an F. That's a 1.2 grade average. Congratulations, Kroger. You're at the top of the Delta Pledge class. Mr. Dorfman.
Hello.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
I guess you should tell Michelle Obama that. She's trying to solve our fat kid problem. And you know, how's she doing it? The briefing room on Twitter is reporting that Michelle Obama is to urge companies to stop marketing unhealthy foods to kids. Oh, you just stop that. You know, that'll do it. That really will do it. You know, so far, this woman has come into our schools and told us all what kinds of foods we're to eat, or our children are to eat, how much of it we're to eat. The food all sucks. It's no good. Kids are revolting everywhere. And meanwhile, you know, we can't have kids participate in dodgeball in gym class because the liberals say that's too rough. You know, you play organized sports and you can't keep score because we're not allowed to have winners or losers. Gym class is more of a research project than actual physical education anymore. Nobody learns in gym. I mean, it's phys ed, physical education. Nobody learns about the human body and how it works and how to train and how to, you know, keep your body healthy. I mean, well, partially because, you know, the kids may have to shower at school and we can't have kids showering at school. It's, you know, look, there is a major problem with fat, obese kids in this country. You go to the shopping mall sometimes and look at all the fat kids wearing t-shirts that are two sizes too big to cover exactly how fat they are. And they're fat parents, and they're loud, and they stink, and they look a mess. And that is the future, frankly, of the United States in many places. And it is an epic fail, but, you know, trying to dictate on high from Washington, D.C., about what kids are supposed to be eating from the federal government? Well, what does she know? Well, speaking of Michelle Obama, you know, we had that tragic shooting today in Washington, D.C., the Naval Yard shooting, where a gunman, they're saying now one. There was some reports earlier today that it was up to three, which immediately led me to believe this was terrorists because that's how they operate. But since there's only one, it may lead me to believe this is just some nut. The guy maybe went off his rocker, but you never know. We still have some discussions, or at least we should be having more discussions about exactly who these Sarnoff kids were involved with up in the Boston Marathon bombing earlier this year. And I remember there were some talks about there being some sort of sleeper cell that they were members of that were hanging in and around the Buffalo area, perhaps, and that there were going to be calls to do more inside job attacks on smaller scales around the country. And Al-Qaeda was making the same calls. And then you see something like this and you got to scratch your head. But I think it may prove out that the guy is just a nutcase, but we'll get to the motive, and that's important. And you know, the racial component of the people, that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter what the person's racial makeup is. You know, frankly, I think somebody's political beliefs or religious beliefs, or probably more than anything, religious beliefs, are a good indicator as to what someone's motivation was behind all this, good or bad. Domestic terrorism or not. And it doesn't take a whole lot to cross that threshold into domestic terrorism if you check out in front of me, 18 United States Code 2331, definitions of domestic terrorism. You just have to have an intent to intimidate people and alter government policy. So we'll see what happens here. But, you know, there's a shooting occurs, and, you know, later that morning, Michelle Obama is speaking in the White House or to a group of kids or whatever on, you know, this is Latin American History Month, by the way. I guess September is Latin American History Month. And they were talking, you know, Michelle Obama made the comment that, you know, Latin American music can really get you moving. It really stirs you up inside, and you'll see that tonight when the president, quote, gets his groove thing on. And I sat there and thought for a minute, wait a minute, later tonight, here's this woman talking about the president getting her, the Michelle Obama talking about her husband getting his groove thing on, and 2 hours earlier, 13 people were gunned down at the Naval Shipyard, a couple of miles away from where you're sitting. And later tonight, you're going to have a party? Well, to give the White House credit, after, of course, I tweeted this out, that the First Lady of the United States says that O will shake his groove thing at a Latin American fest in the White House, I called on the White House to postpone this event, and they did. So the power of the conservative underground emanating yet again and on display, what we say here, what we do here, does have ripple effects. 2 hours later, the event was canceled. So I will give the White House credit and the social office and social secretary credit for canceling the event that I've called on them to cancel. But it leads you to believe just, you know, how insulated are these Obamas? You know, the guy goes out of his way. How insulated they are from reality. Thank you, my chief of staff, Brent Myers, asking me to finish my statement. I think they're insulated from reality. I think these people, despite the fact they go out of their way to show us how in tune they are with the average person. He goes out and has a hamburger. Looks like a girl, but throws a baseball all over the place. Plays basketball. Does all these human things. Gives high fives and, you know, can talk jive when he needs to. Or talk in a jive accent. But at the end of the day, I think these are some of the most insulated and clueless people on the lives of regular Americans there are. You know, when you look at how they vacation. You know, you look at how many rounds of golf the president plays. What is he up to? Over 100 since taking office? She's out vacationing around the place, all over the world, multiple vacations in 1 month sometimes. You know, meanwhile, he's out there talking about how he's not, you know, the president's not going to rest until we get solve this economic crisis that he's created, by the way. And I got a kick out of a tweet from the Associated Press earlier. Obama warns the GOP not to turn the economy into chaos and ruins. That's pretty rich coming, you know, considering this guy's 4-year track record. But I think these people are pretty clueless. They really operate inside of some sort of bubble that I'm not familiar with. And of course, you know, you've got the media out there carrying water for these guys. So I give the Obama administration credit for canceling the Latin American festival tonight in the White House in respect of the tragedy that has befallen upon the country. Arsenio Hall beats, is this true, beats Jimmy Kimmel, Jon Stewart, and Late Night in his return. Now, is this going to be kind of like the Conan O'Brien fad where he came back on the air and dominated for a couple of weeks and then people were over it? I mean, is Conan O'Brien still on the air? Is he still doing his talk show on TBS at 10, 11, or whatever time it is anymore? I don't know. I've never been a big Conan fan. As a matter of fact, I never really bought into late night shows in general. This isn't going to show how old, necessarily old I am, but I remember Johnny Carson growing up, and when he went off the air, I was still fairly young. I said the hell with it. I never got into Letterman. I never got into Leno. I do think that Jimmy Kimmel is pretty funny, though. I have watched him on a few occasions when he first started his show. And the other guy, Jimmy Fallon, I think he's pretty funny, too. That video on YouTube with him singing the Robin Thicke song, pretty good. He seems to be genuinely funny. The other guys just seem crotchety funny, phony funny. Johnny Carson was smooth funny. Jay Leno, phony funny. David Letterman, crotchety phony funny. But Kimmel and Fallon, I think, are genuinely funny people. Arsenio Hall, I'm not going to give him any staying power. He had a good show when it was on. Watched it a few times growing up. Yeah, I'm sort of delaying here because I shake my head at this Syrian thing that the president got himself into, and I can't believe it. I was at the barber the other, the last bastion of free speech for heterosexual males is white or black, yes, regardless of race, though the barbershops are pretty segregated. The last bastion of heterosexual male fiefdom is the barber. That is the one place where you can speak your mind, and if you hear someone you disagree with, you just let them go. It's where you can go and sound off. And I was getting my hair cut the other day. Barber that I've been going to actually since college. I said, this Syrian thing is a mess, and Obama looks like a fool, frankly. And you hate to say that about the president of the United States. You hate to have to say that. But sometimes the truth hurts. And I mentioned that. Where have we come in a country where the Russian president, for all intents and purposes, a Soviet president, makes more sense than the American president? Where have we come as a country where it all of a sudden Vladimir Putin says something, and you sit there and have to go, well, that, I guess, sort of makes sense. But that's where we're at right now in this country with Barack Obama as president. The guy has no natural instinct to lead, doesn't have a desire to lead. The guy simply on foreign affairs has no interest in inserting American influence around the world. He would rather, as he does here at home, make speeches and allow others to kind of work things out, and he leads, as the saying goes, leads from behind. And it's an embarrassment. And with the result of what he's done in Syria by making this cockamamie statement about red lines in an election year to sound tough and not thinking about, well, what happens if they cross it, not being prepared to do anything about it, but just had to make a statement to allow him to look tough for a couple of months to get reelected. And then lo and behold, it wasn't even in August of this year. There were reports in April of this year that Assad had crossed Obama's red line. Then he walks that back. Oh, I never said a red line. How stupid does he sound? So I'm sitting there at the barbershop, and I said, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, if somebody would have said, if Mikhail Gorbachev would have said, something along these lines about, American values and we're going to do this and we're going to do that, we would have, as American public, we would have told him to go piss up a rope. And Ronald Reagan wouldn't have been fooled. He wouldn't have been suckered into this, and he wouldn't have stood for that bullshit and taken it. No Cold War American president would have taken it. But under the Obama doctrine, which is basically designed on two things, CYA diplomacy, cover your ass, and make Obama look good. And the sad thing is people inside of his administration actually think they look good because Putin came to their rescue, when in fact, he looks as inept as before. And there's even some, of course, in the news media that buys into that. Well, Putin came in and came up with this diplomacy at the end. Saved the day. Saved them. And it was Obama's insistence on striking Syria that forced the Russian hands. I hate to break it to people, but there was never going to be any bombings. They would have either blamed the Republicans. If anything, Putin probably bailed the Republicans in Congress out. for, you know, capitulating, at least the leaders in the Congress for capitulating towards Obama and saying, yeah, what the hell, we'll bomb Syria. You can really see the spines of some members of the Republican Party in Congress, Speaker Boehner, Majority Leader Cantor. Well, Obama doesn't look any better after all of this. Matter of fact, he looks worse. We'll take our final break and be back.
The sound of a working smoke alarm. Those with special needs are often terrified when they hear this sound.
What is that? What do I do? How am I going to get out of here?
When it comes to fire, have a working smoke alarm on every level of your home. Let your fire department and building manager know of your special needs ahead of time and practice your fire escape plan with others. Plan ahead for a fire emergency. Don't be scared. Be prepared. Fire starts with you. A message from FEMA and the U.S. Fire Administration.
Osteoporosis and low bone mass are estimated to be a major public health threat for almost 44 million U.S. women and men 50 and older. I'm Marjorie McGinn, President and Executive Director of Women in Government. You're never too old or too young to improve the health of your bones, especially postmenopausal women and people with low bone density or osteopenia. Talk to your health care provider and know your bones. Visit womeningovernment.org.
Funding provided by Novartis Pharmaceuticals.
What you doing, Yogi?
Oh, protecting myself from the sun. I'm smarter than the average bear.
Ouch! I'll help you, Yogi.
Like how, boo-boo?
Use sunblock SPF 15 or more on your face.
Check.
Your chest, back, and arms, too.
Check.
And cover yourself.
Double check.
Wear a hat and sunglasses.
Now I'm a shining example of how to beat the sun's rays.
So remember,
wear a squirt and a shirt so the sun won't hurt. Yay!
Hi, I'm Charlie. I fight fires and I save lives.
My name's Renee. I'm a cardiologist. I save lives.
My name's Anthony. I'm an EMT. I save lives.
You don't have to be a professional to save a life. Firefighters, doctors, and others save lives. You can too. Don't wait. To learn more about the warning signs and how you can help prevent suicide, visit save.org. In a crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
You're listening to the Conservative Underground. I'm Doc White. Email the show at conservativeunderground1776@gmail.com. Another Obama green energy company goes bust. Ecotality added to the Obama loser list, an electric car charging company that operates 600 charging stations in Arizona, dependent on taxpayer-funded money to operate, goes belly up. The hits go on at our expense.
Oh, no! While the Estradas are thinking it over, you and Henry are trying to find somebody else to buy the house.
You don't call that crooked? No! That's looking out for number one.
Where does that place Henry Jefferson?
He's number two. Why is he number two? Because, meathead, there can only be one number one and one number two. And life made Jefferson number two long before I come along.
So I suppose that the Puerto Ricans are number three, then?
Well, no, not necessarily there, little girl. Your Puerto Ricans could be four. Your Japs and your Chins could be three. 3A, 3B.
Crazy! Perhaps the most liberal state in the union is Hawaii. More than a million Americans live there. Hawaii has the fourth highest homeless rate in the USA. It ranks number one in food stamps. Its debt approaching $10 billion, money it will never be able to pay back. 39% of Hawaiians describe themselves as non-religious. Prostitution and drug use, widely accepted in the islands. The individual state income tax rate, the highest in the country at 11%. If you are an underage girl in Hawaii, you can get an abortion without telling your parents. And if you rape a child in the Aloha State, the mandatory prison sentence is an unbelievable 2 years. Hawaii will not pass Jessica's law to correct that appalling situation.
Hi, Jimmy Z here, inviting you to listen to The Jimmy Z Show at thejimmyzshow.com. Conservative politics with humor, irreverence, and colored by my Christian faith. On demand, 24-7 with new shows every Monday through Friday. The Jimmy Z Show, hated by the left for all the right reasons. Tune in anytime, day or night, at thejimmyzshow.com.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Welcome back to the Conservative Underground. Doc White here. Thanks for joining this broadcast. haven't had too many broadcasts in recent weeks, almost. It's been over a month and a half, and I should let everyone know that I've had some personal developments in life that have prevented me, all good, by the way, all good, that have prevented me from doing a regular broadcast for most of the summer. Wanted to get started the week of Labor Day and then got delayed, and then the week after Labor Day and got delayed. So here we are, delayed, but the old slogan goes, better late than never. And we are late, but it is good to be here. You can email the show at conservativeunderground1776@gmail.com. Assuming the guy hasn't kicked me off the network, you can hear us over at the 405 Radio Network. And also, we have a presence on Facebook. You can friend me, Doc Wythe, W-Y-T-H-E. You can like the show, the Facebook fan page of the Conservative Underground, and join the swelling numbers of people who continue to like that fan page on a monthly basis. And you can follow me on Twitter. The handle is simple, Doc Wythe, W-Y-T-H-E. Really active tweeter. It's a lot easier than putting together a podcast and queuing everything up as it goes. There was a headline over on Drudge Report today, Obamacare will question your sex life. I didn't get a chance to read that article, but I'm you know, there's, we know that there's death panels in Obamacare. Sarah Palin was right. We've passed it. We found out what was in some of it. And we still don't know what's in all of it, and we don't like any of it. And the big question is how much intrusion will this monstrosity be to our personal liberties, individual freedoms, our rights to choose a healthcare plan of our own choosing and not what some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. thinks we need, or Barack Obama himself, or Kathleen Sebelius, or whoever happens to be the Health and Human Services Secretary. But this headline, Obamacare will question your sex life. Not sure what that means, but I could just imagine going into the doctor's office and, well, yes, doc, I've been screwed by the government every day for, you know, for the past 5 years. So that's Obamacare. And the Heritage Foundation has been going around the country on this defund Obamacare tour. They traveled to several states across the country. I was able to attend one of the events, and there was a lot of information that was passed out at these defund Obamacare tour events. A lot of good information, and the issue to me is crystal clear. The issue to me here is crystal clear of what the Heritage Foundation's trying to do by explaining to the American public the impact of Obamacare and what Ted Cruz and Mark Graves and many others in Congress are trying to do, Mike Lee in the Senate as well. They're saying, we are not going to shut the government down at the end of September. The only person that will do that will be Barack Obama. He's, matter of fact, the only person talking about there being a government shutdown. And that's because they think, and they're aided by some folks in the Republican mainstream who also sort of ignorantly think that that helps the Democrats. When if you simply do a historical investigation of the last time the Republicans stood up to a big government and a Democrat president over spending and tax policies, in the mid-1990s, the government shut down. And it shut down because Congress and the president couldn't come to an agreement over spending priorities. And what happened at the end of the day? Well, the rhinos in the Senate, led by Bob Dole and others, capitulated and got nervous and sold out and pulled the rug out from underneath Newt Gingrich and the conservatives in the House of Representatives, who were standing for fiscal principles and priorities, conservative principles and priorities, and, you know, standing up for a document called the Contract with America, a contract with America that most of them signed. They were doing something that politicians don't normally do anymore, live up to their word and their campaign pledges and promises. And what happened? Well, of course the Republicans lost the PR battle, as they typically do, but the economic stats, the government receipts, prove that they accomplished something. And the federal government spending was leveled, a surplus was created, and an economic boom resulted. And of course, Bill Clinton ran around and took credit for all of it. That's what happened the last time we really had an honest exercise in government spending priorities. And of course, the Bush administration comes in and pisses it all away in 6 or 7 years on a lot of bloated domestic spending. So there's still this belief out there that by shutting the government down, the Republicans are going to take it on the chin. Well, you know, if we have people that don't want to sell it and don't want to talk about it and engage the American people in an honest debate over the looming fiscal crisis in this country, then we will lose the debate. But let's go back to 1991, when the Republicans, the RINOs, led by a RINO president, George H.W. Bush, capitulated to the Democrats. They didn't want to shut the government down, and they raised our taxes. What happened in 1992? The president lost, the Republicans lost in Congress, lost seats in the House, lost seats in the Senate, and took it on the chin big time. But in 1995, when we stood up and created an economic boom, we maintained our majorities in the United States House, we maintained our majorities in the United States Senate, and did so for 3 or 4 more election cycles after that. And it managed to get a Republican elected in 2000, a president, and reelected in 2004. And it wasn't until we abandoned those fiscal principles and pissed off the base and the American people didn't trust us anymore that they kicked us out. And the brand has had a hard time recovering ever since 2006. And frankly, if it hadn't been for the gross incompetence of the Obama administration and the just failures of implementing radical liberalism, we would be in pretty bad shape. Meaning, had Hillary Clinton won in 2008, we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are at now in terms of momentum. We'd be really hurting as a long-term movement. And that's because the Clintons know how to sell things, and they're not afraid to engage. But the biggest part of our spending issues, the biggest part of our debt is government entitlement programs. And Obamacare represents one of the biggest, if not the biggest. I mean, this sucker is going to cost a lot of money. And no one knows how it's going to work. And it is being delayed. The biggest parts of it are being delayed. Employer mandate being delayed, insurance coverage mandate being delayed, but the individual mandate on you and I and Joe Average Citizen, that's still in place. So it kind of tells you where people's priorities are. The taxes are still there. These exchanges are going to open up in April and 1st of October in a couple of weeks. And everyone's problems are going to go away. But in fact, they're not. Premiums are going to go up. I mean, the impact on America's healthcare system from Obamacare will be enormous. This is going to move our healthcare system in the wrong direction. It's highly unpopular. The law asserts federal control over healthcare benefits and financing, establishes a complex one-size-fits-all healthcare system, centralizes America's healthcare decisions in Washington. That's the impact of Obamacare. Now, we talk a lot about the uninsured. Well, those who gain coverage under Obamacare will be enrolled in Medicaid, which is the welfare program for poor people, or they'll be put in a health plan designed by the government, not designed by you or an insurance company. The millions who will remain uninsured will still depend on overcrowded emergency rooms for routine care, and there still will be millions who remain uninsured. Obamacare will provide $125 million per year for school-based health centers and a new program to reduce teen pregnancy with no requirement to reduce abortions. That's the effects on families. Those federally funded projects will deny parents any knowledge about the services their children may receive. That's called abortion services. Nearly one quarter, the impact on seniors, nearly one quarter of all seniors will currently rely on Medicare Advantage. This is the private health care option in Medicare. Now, however, Obamacare will make deep and severe cuts to that program. That half of those covered will no longer be able to keep the coverage they now have. That's the impact on seniors. Other payment cuts in Medicare, along with new taxes on drug companies and medical device makers and new reporting requirements and regulations, will make access to health care and services more costly and difficult for seniors under Obamacare. That's impact on seniors. Obamacare will expand government's role as the primary player of health care by adding 18 million people to the Medicaid program, which on average reimburses doctors only 56% of the market rate for medical procedures. That's the impact on doctors of Obamacare. I mean, none of this stuff is good. By 2022, approximately 95 million people will be on the Medicaid program, requiring billions of dollars from state budgets and taxpayers. That's the impact on the state. So if your state's talking about expanding Medicaid under Obamacare, there's the a financial impact for that, and you may not be able to afford it. $52 billion in new taxes will be imposed on businesses by mandating employers provide health insurance. These kinds of regulations and business-related taxes will penalize growth and success. That's the impact of Obamacare on business, on our states, on our doctors, on our seniors, on our families, on our uninsured, the impact in general. This is bad news stuff, folks. So that's what we're fighting for at the end of the month. At the end of the month here in September, the debt limit of the United States, the amount of money that we can borrow, will be met, will be exceeded. So we're going to have to debate on whether or not we raise that debt limit. And we're going to also have to debate whether or not we pass a federal budget on time or we pass a continuing resolution to fund the budget. So we have two debates going on simultaneously. And a big player in our debt going up will be the social entitlement boondoggle called Obamacare. And the continuing budget resolution should not fund it. It's not ready. It's being delayed. It's being manipulated. The Obama administration is ignoring the law, as shaky as it is, on Obamacare by making exemptions and waivers. This thing ain't ready for prime time. This goose ain't cooked. Unions are now upset. They're demanding its repeal. Nobody likes this thing. Nobody wanted it in the first place outside of a handful of Washington politicians who were bought off by big government giveaways and gangster-style politics in securing the votes. Now, that just happens to be the truth of the matter. So you need to call your congressman, you need to call your senator, especially if they're Republican, and tell them not to fund Obamacare. Because its impact on our families, on our doctors, on our states, are all too onerous. It'll be very hard to repeal once it gets going because people will be stuck on the government hook. And that's just the unfortunate facts. All right, folks, that is unfortunately all the time that we have today on today's broadcast. You know, we'll be back in the swing of things here on the Conservative Underground Show. We'll be monitoring very closely this naval yard shootings in Washington, D.C. How sick were the president's remarks about partisan politics after he commented on this tragedy? This guy has no shame, really has no shame, taking partisan political jabs on budgetary debates after using the first part of the speech to talk about the tragedy in Washington, D.C. Well, that's, I guess, I guess that's the kind of administration we're to expect.
The lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end.
May the road rise up to meet you, may the wind be always at your back, and may the sun shine warm upon your face, and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hands. Good night, everybody.